Thank you for tuning in. This is a recap from Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops for the games that were played on October 23rd, 2019. And we had a very, very full slate. Please go ahead, if you're watching this, go ahead and support this channel by subscribing, clicking that bell notification, liking this video, or leaving a comment below so that I can keep producing these recaps and this analysis that hopefully helps you put together the strongest team possible and lead you to great fantasy basketball success. So, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to go game by game, making some observations of things that really stood out. Andre Drummond, someone that I tell you guys all the time, I absolutely love. And here's why. He hit 80% free throw, so he didn't even hurt you in your free throw percentage. That's amazing. This guy used to shoot like 45%. So he shot 80%. If he can stay in that 80% range, this guy's probably like a top five pick. 32 points, 23 rebounds, 3 steals, 4 blocks. He played 40 minutes. What more can possibly be said? If you have Andre Drummond on your team, and you have him in the right format, you're looking great. Reggie Jackson, nothing too exciting, really. None of the other starters, anything to write home about, nothing exciting. But off of the bench, Luke Kennard, with 28 minutes of playing time, hit 30 points plus 12. That's actually a higher plus minus than Andre Drummond had. Andre Drummond was only plus 4. So things are looking really good for Luke Kennard, and he's probably available on your waiver wire. Derrick Rose, 26 minutes off the bench, got less minutes than Luke Kennard, but he also performed, got 18 points, 9 assists, no steals and blocks, as you can expect from Derrick Rose. He did have 4 turnovers, but that 18 points and 9 assists, that's really, really good. Some people were expecting Christian Wood to get some playing time with the Blake Griffin injury. That did not happen in this game. So I hope you didn't get desperate and drop anyone of quality for Christian Wood. My call-outs here are Luke Kennard, Derrick Rose, Andre Drummond. Nothing else really stood out. Bruce Brown got almost 29 minutes. But those stats don't really excite me. So on to the next game. The Orlando Magic beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. And observations here. Kevin Love did Kevin Love things. He didn't score a whole lot, but he was minus 15, which isn't great. He did get 18 rebounds. He did get a steal. No three-pointers made, shot 40%. Not exactly an exciting stat line, which is why I don't have him on any of my teams this year. He can put up exciting stat lines, but with his injury risk, to me, he wasn't worth it. CeeDee Osman did get 29 minutes, hit 3 three-pointers, added 2 steals, 13 points. He might be someone to consider if he's available on your waiver wire. Tristan Thompson is another big that is probably on your waiver wire. If you need the rebounding and you need the points, he made 8 of 11 shots. He only got 1 block, no steals, but he got 33 minutes. So he's someone else to consider. Darius Garland didn't have an amazing debut. He's still very young. Colin Sexton shot 5 of 15, 3 of 8 three-pointers, more turnovers than assists, no steals and blocks. Not the kind of person that I'm excited to have on my team. I also just noticed CeeDee Osman was plus 6, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. It looks like when he was out there, the team was doing better. Larry Nance, the field goal percentage isn't great, but he took 5 three-pointers, and he had 14 rebounds, 2 assists. He did get a ton of fouls, good amount of turnovers, but the fact that he's taking 3-pointers, that would raise his value a lot. It might affect his field goal percentage, but if he can still be that guy that gets you double-digit block on rebounds, gets you 3 to 4 assists, and he can get those turnovers down and get you the 2 to 3 steals that he can pop off and get you, he's a very usable player. Jordan Clarkson, I wasn't very happy with the minutes. I picked him up as a last round pick in some of my points leagues, but 18 minutes, and especially with Darius Garland and Colin Sexton ahead of him, it doesn't look like there's really a path for minutes on the team for him. Brandon Knight didn't get any minutes, so if he were to get minutes, that would probably take away from Jordan Clarkson even more. So if you have him on your team, I might suggest moving on. He's a flawed fantasy player as is. That 2-for-12 was definitely not helpful. On the Orlando Magic side of things, Nikola Vucevic, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, typical Vucevic line. Evan Fournier had a really nice stat line for a guy that you could get with your last round pick. I grabbed him with my last round pick in a few drafts. 16 points, really good field goal percentage, got you 4 assists, got you a steal and a block. He was minus 10, though, when the rest of the team was mostly positive. So that's something to keep an eye on. Is he hurting the team? I didn't watch the game, but just basing on the stat line, that plus minus, when he was on the court, they seemed to have played their worst basketball. Terrence Ross was plus 17 and only got 19 minutes compared to 28 for 48. So we could see Terrence Ross taking over Evan Fournier's spot. Markelle Fultz shot 50%. He took 3 three-pointers. He got 2 steals, 6 assists in 23 minutes. Really positive first game. Definitely a game that might build some confidence in him. He's somebody else I would be on the lookout on. We could have a completely different backcourt later on this season for this team. Mohamed Bamba only got 13 minutes, so unless it's a really deep league, I wouldn't really consider him. I heard some whispers that Michael Carter-Williams might be usable this year. Doubt it. Not a fan of his fantasy game. Avoid him. Al-Farouq Aminu got more minutes than Jonathan Isaac, which is concerning to me because I am a Jonathan Isaac fan. Jonathan Isaac only scored 3 points. He did get 8 rebounds. He did get a steal and 2 blocks, which is his bread and butter. He only took 1 three-pointer, but it is concerning that he only got 23 minutes compared to Al-Farouq Aminu getting 29 minutes. But Al-Farouq Aminu was plus 14, while Jonathan Isaac was plus 0. So I don't see Al-Farouq Aminu beating him up for that starting spot. I think the Magic know what they have in Jonathan Isaac, and they know he has defensive superstar potential. But Al-Farouq Aminu is someone you should probably put on your radar if he's going to be getting 25 minutes or more. All right, on to our next game. So before I continue to the third game, I caught myself. I forgot to talk about the Indiana Pacers. I was gushing about Andre Drummond too much. So let's talk about him, this team now. Domantas Sabonis, great debut, 27 points, 11 of 15 field goal, 100% free throw, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, no steals and blocks. That's pretty great production. I took Marc Gasol over him in a few leagues, and I might end up regretting that from the looks of things. So Domantas Sabonis, if you picked him up, you're probably very happy right now. TJ Warren played 33 minutes, but it does look like he may have gotten injured. He took a hard fall. He was plus 4, which is very positive considering the rest of the starters were all in the minuses. Miles Turner did Miles Turner's things. He did score 25 points, got you 9 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He hit 4 three-pointers, and that's why I love his game. 100% free throw as well. A guy that can get you that many blocks, hit three-pointers, and now is looking like he's scoring. That's great. The minus 4 is a little concerning, but it's the first game. I think the Pacers will be fine. Malcolm Brogdon really showed out. Has put up a really nice fantasy line. It didn't help his team, but 22 points, 11 assists. He did get a block, but normally he's not a guy you're getting for steals and blocks. And he took 11 free throws, which I believe is a career high for him. And he hit 10 of the 11. So if he can consistently get 5-6 free throws per game and shoot them at the 90% that he shoots customarily, his value is going to go up significantly. Jeremy Lamb didn't have the greatest game. I think he'll be better. But once Victor Oladipo's back, either Jeremy Lamb or TJ Warren is going to take a hit to their value. As far as the bench, no one really stood out to me. Edmund Sumner got 21 minutes, didn't do much with it. He did get 3 steals, but no real pickups that I would suggest there. Most of these guys that produced are already most likely taken in your league. Now we can move on to game 3. The Bulls versus the Hornets had a lot of fun storylines going on. Lauri Markkanen, 35 points, 17 rebounds. He did only hit 1 of 7 three-pointers, but he got 25 shots. So they're feeding him the ball. He has the greenest of green lights. Bodes very well for his fantasy value. Otto Porter Jr. showing his value. The team was plus 14 when he was on the floor, which was the highest on the team. Wendell Carter Jr. Put up 12 points, 9 rebounds. He got a block. There were some injury concerns with him, but he played almost 30 minutes and put up a really nice stat line, and he was plus 2, so the team did well when he was out on the court. Zach LaVine didn't put up the best stat line. He did get 2 steals and a block, but 5 turnovers, which I guess you can expect with him, and 7 to 17 shooting. Definitely needs to increase that efficiency and get those turnovers down. I doubt he's going to lose playing time to anybody on the team, but it wasn't the prettiest stat line to start with. Tomas Satoransky, a guy really hyped up. Don't suggest panicking yet. But it does look like there's a timeshare going on for point guard, which is a little concerning. I was hoping there wouldn't be as much of a timeshare, but Chris Dunn got 23 minutes, Kobe White got 27 minutes, and Tomas Satoransky got 24 minutes and didn't do much in those 24 minutes. Kobe White, the rookie, 17 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. And people were concerned that his passing was suspect, but 7 assists for his debut, not bad at all. He was plus 6. Thaddeus Young came off the bench, but put up a really nice stat line, 17 points, 7 of 11 shooting. He hit 3 out of 5 three-pointers, which is a new wrinkle to his game. If he could get his three-pointers up while keeping his field goal percentage relatively high and getting you the steals that he gets you, I can see him really helping your fantasy team. Chris Dunn, a guy that's probably available on your waiver wire, but here's why the Bulls wanted to replace him, and they made it pretty clear that he wasn't their long-term point guard. He did shoot 5 of 7, 4 steals, but he was minus 8 on the minutes he was out there. So Kobe White and Tomas Satoransky were both in the positive while they were playing. Chris Dunn was not. Luke Kornet, I've heard some splashes from certain fantasy authorities that he was a sleeper. I never suggested him as a sleeper, I don't believe. Maybe in passing in my deep league sleepers, but he only got 7 minutes. Nothing exciting whatsoever. The Hornets also had some exciting storylines. PJ Washington, 7 of 11 three-pointers his very first game, 9 of 17 shooting. A steal, got you a block. He's a guy I picked up really late in a lot of my leagues, even some deep ones. So to see him have this sort of game and get 37 minutes, he led the team in minutes. The team clearly trusts in him, believes in him, and it looks like they are focusing on development. Miles Bridges didn't perform to the level I think people expected from him, but there was a lot of nice things that he did. That 7 field goals, he's going to get more than that in the future. PJ Washington was super hot. But I'm assuming in the future, Miles Bridges should get 12 to 13 shots a game at the very least. He got 3 blocks, though. That's incredibly nice, especially for a small forward eligible player. He has the potential to get you over a steal and a block a game and over a three-pointer a game. Hopefully those shot attempts go up. Cody Zeller, he's a guy probably available on your waiver wire in a 12-team league. I dropped Dwight Powell in one league for Cody Zeller because he's dealing with the hamstring issue. And if Cody Zeller is going to put stat lines like this up consistently, which he has shown in the past that he can, I don't know that I need Dwight Powell. So 12 rebounds, 15 points, 6 of 11 shooting, 3 of 4 free throw shooting. And he's a guy that can normally get you a steal on the block. Dwayne Bacon got 33 minutes. Looks like he's beat Malik Monk out readily for that position. And put up usable production as well. He was minus 3. Terry Rozier with an awful game. Their star free agent signing, or so-called star free agent signing, not off to the greatest of starts. Not very pretty stat line, was minus 18, and got beat out for minutes by Devontae Graham, who did have himself a game, hit 6 of 7 three-pointers, 8 assists, was plus 14, hit 23 points. So if you need a lottery ticket point guard in your 12-team or higher league, I would consider Devontae Graham, though I don't think he'll be on the waiver wire much longer if he puts up a few more games like this. Marvin Williams, the stat line looks nice, but he got under 17 minutes. Nicholas Batum, don't see him starting anymore. It looks like PJ Washington is going to be getting those minutes. So if you have Nicholas Batum and you've been wondering if to move on, this might be the confirmation that you need. It looks like the Hornets are going for a youth movement, and they won their first game with that youth movement. Now, keep in mind, neither of these teams is very good, so put these stat lines, put a grain of salt on. But regardless, a lot of valuable information and some pickups that are available that you should look to in your own league. All right, let's move on to the next game. Memphis Grizzlies versus Miami Heat. Jay Crowder stands out to me. He got 30 minutes. His field goal percentage was awful, but he took 9 three-pointers. He got you a steal. He was minus 9 in those minutes, but that was better than the rest of the starters. If he's going to get 30 minutes consistently, then you should consider him, I'd say, 14 teams or more. I wouldn't suggest him for a 12-team league just because of that really bad field goal percentage that he's had for a few years now. But he's a guy that's streaky. All of a sudden, he gets hot and does help you. So he's someone to put on your radar. Jaren Jackson Jr., 0-6 three-pointers. Not great, but 7-9 free throws. And the fact that he's taking 6 three-pointers regardless for a guy that can get you steals and blocks, that's great. Not a lot of rebounds, only 3 rebounds. Hope that goes up some because it will affect his value and potentially his playing time if he doesn't get that rebounding up. Jonas Valanciunas did start, but he only played 16 minutes. He is coming off of a foot injury, so they may be easing him in. But it's still a little concerning he only played 16 minutes. I'm hoping that's temporary. Ja Morant, 6 turnovers, minus 29, worst on the team. But I think the Grizzlies realize this is a lost season, so even if he does have bad stat lines, I don't think they're concerned with winning over developing their players. Dylan Brooks got a start as well, but only played 18 minutes. This Marco Guduric guy, not familiar with him. Not going to lie to you and pretend I'm an expert on him. He'd got 24 minutes. Didn't do much as far as a fantasy perspective, so I wouldn't be too rushed to go pick him up. But Tyus Jones, he stood out to me. 6 of 12 shooting. He got 12 shots, 15 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. and only two turnovers. He's a guy with a great assist to turnover ratio. In the past, he's shown he can produce when he's been given the opportunity. He can get you a bunch of steals, a bunch of assists. The fact that he got 12 shots and 24 minutes makes it exciting for me. I picked him up in a league where it was a deeper roster and I needed another point guard, and I went and picked him up. In another league, I dropped Jordan Clarkson and picked him up. Derek White is in a similar position coming off the bench, but Tyus Jones had a much better game. I wouldn't say drop Derek White. I still believe in Derek White, but just based on this, Tyus Jones should definitely be on your radar, and he's probably available in your league. Brandon Clark, 8.7 rebounds and a block. He did hit a three-pointer. Nothing super exciting, but 23 minutes is nothing to scoff at. I don't know if what's going to end up happening. Will Jay Crowder lose some minutes? Can Jaren Jackson or Brandon Clark play some small forward? Because at some point, I'm assuming Valanciunas is going to get more than 16 minutes. So they're going to have to find some way to get Brandon Clark minutes as well. Somebody's going to suffer in that equation. Kyle Anderson got 20 minutes. Put up 8 rebounds. Got you a steal, but nothing too exciting. Grayson Allen didn't do anything of note. On the Miami side of things, Justice Winslow, 27 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He took 21 shots. Jimmy Butler was not playing this game, so that's definitely something you want to keep in mind. But still, really nice stat line. 6-9 shooting, didn't help you there. But the 7 rebounds and the 7 assists, definitely a huge help. Got you a steal and a block as well. Bam Adebayo, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. He can be pretty turnover prone for a big man, but he could also give you a triple-double. So I guess you got to take that good with the bad. Wish the field goal percentage would have been higher. Maybe you've seen a few more three-pointers, more steals and blocks, but it's only the first game. It is a little concerning he only got 24 minutes. We thought with Hassan Whiteside gone, a lot of people reached. And I did in a few leagues as well, thinking hopefully the minutes would be there. So I would like to see those minutes creep up, but it does look like he's in a bit of a timeshare with Kelly Olynyk. Tyler Hero, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 6 of 14 shooting. Pretty good debut game. Kendrick Nunn, a guy most people didn't know about, but he dropped 40 points on the Rockets a week ago. He got 18 shots, 2 steals, very usable numbers, plus 27, had the highest plus minus on the entire team. So he's a guy that may play himself into more playing time even once Jimmy Butler returns, which it's not known at this point. He was gone for personal reasons. Justice Winslow was plus 22. Which is great. Kelly Olynyk was plus 21 versus Bam Adebayo. So there might be a bit of a timeshare going on there. Even though he stat line from a fantasy perspective wasn't the sexiest stat line. He did give you a three-pointer, 8 rebounds, two blocks and a steal. Chris Silva was plus 18 but only got 11 minutes, so I wouldn't worry about him. Derek Jones Jr., wouldn't worry about him much either. And they both, Derek Jones Jr. and Silva, did have 5 fouls, so that could have affected their playing time. But again, nothing really stood out as far as them. But Kendrick Nunn, while Jimmy Butler's gone, which could only be a game or two, if you're in a deeper league, you might want to consider giving him a shot. It looks like he's the real deal. Hot debuts happen all the time. Don't drop anything too drastic for him, but you definitely want to strongly consider him in 14 teams or higher. Myers Leonard played 18 minutes and did absolutely nothing. That's why I didn't suggest him as a sleeper. He was minus 6 in the minutes he did get. Hopefully, they should just get rid of those 18 minutes from him and give more minutes to Bam and Kelly Olynyk. I'm not sure why they're not just starting Bam and Kelly Olynyk and make Myers Leonard an end of the bench player, but hey, I'm not the coach. This game was a nail biter and a lot to talk about here. The Minnesota Timberwolves took on the Brooklyn Nets. And the things that stood out to me, Robert Covington had a pretty typical Robert Covington line, minus no steals and blocks. Hopefully we can get that up in the future. Well, we probably will. But he did get 32 minutes, so he seems to be past his injury concerns from last year. Karl Anthony Towns showing why I love this guy, why I hate how dismissed he is, especially from a fantasy basketball perspective. In real life, too, but from fantasy basketball, this guy finished last year in the top three, both in points per game and in total production. So, played 38 minutes, took 22 shots and hit half of them, hit 7 3-pointers as a center, 7 3-pointers, shot 7 of 8 free throws, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. Okay, but I'll take the 3 turnovers when they come with 3 steals and 3 blocks. That is a beautiful stat line, 36 points. This guy could end up being the number one fantasy basketball player. And in so many of my leagues, I was picking him up at number 5, number 6, number 7. That's absurd. This guy shouldn't go past like the top 3. Some people say Giannis is better. He's not. As not from fantasy basketball perspective in real life, yes, Giannis is my favorite player, but I've seen too many people dismissing Karl Anthony Towns because of cheap viral narratives that are going on about him not being overrated or not a great player, and you're paying the price because somebody grabbed this guy with a 5th or 6th round pick, and then they had a better next round pick than you did, and you picked a lesser player and then had a worse 2nd round pick. I see that happening in my league where I picked Giannis first and then somebody else picked Karl Anthony Towns. Now, Giannis in the points format will probably have the better season, but in category leagues, there's really no excuse to let Karl Anthony Towns slip. I don't think there was any draft where I was in the top 6 or 7 where I would consider letting Karl Anthony Towns slip past me if I was like pick number 4. Andrew Wiggins. Here's why he's on my do not draft list. Took 27 shots, hit only 10 of them, took 4 3-pointers, missed all of them, took only 2 free throws for a guy that athletic and only hit 1. The 8 rebounds, okay, that's decent, I guess. 0 assists. The turnovers, at least he didn't kill you there, but still more turnovers than assists. 0 steals, 0 blocks, minus 26. I don't want to call the guy garbage. He's an elite athlete. But from an NBA perspective, relative to his contemporaries, not a fan of the guy. Not a fan of him pretty much in any format. I drafted him in a points league I'm in, and I regret it. Jeff T got 34 minutes, which is pretty good. He had some injury concerns, so to play 34 minutes the first game. No competition from Derrick Rose any longer. Someone to keep an eye on. Jake Layman got 22 minutes, hit 2 of 4 3-pointers. So if you're in a deeper league, he may be available and you might want to give him a look. He did get a lot of minutes in preseason as well. Shabazz Napier was plus 17 in the minutes he played against his former team. Did get 7 assists. Now keep in mind this game did go into overtime, so their times may have been higher because of that. But still, it's hard to ignore that they were a positive when they were out on the court while the starters were being outplayed. On the Brooklyn Nets side of things, Torian Prince, a guy I talked up a bunch, and he's making me look golden right now. I like to brag about the things I get right and ignore the things I get wrong. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, plus 19, had the highest plus minus. The team extended him. The 41 minutes shows the belief they have in him. His role is pretty secure. This game did go into overtime, but still leading the league in minutes. Beautiful. Joe Harris didn't take a whole lot of shots, but he was productive with the shots he did take as usual. Got you 14 points, hit 4 3-pointers, didn't take any free throws, did get a block. He was plus 1. Jared Allen got 36 minutes. DeAndre Jordan got 16 minutes. I know a lot of people were saying to avoid Jared Allen because of DeAndre Jordan, but I wasn't that concerned with DeAndre Jordan. I think Brooklyn knows they need to develop Jared Allen. DeAndre Jordan was just a sweetener to bring on Kevin Durant. That's his best friend. Kyrie Irving, 38 minutes. At one point, he had like 28 points, 18 minutes of play time. 17 of 33 shooting, 7 of 14 three-pointers. A lot of guys hitting 7 three-pointers. I remember that used to be like historic, and now like 3 people hit 7 three-pointers yesterday. 9 of 10 free throw shooting, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, no steals and blocks. 50 points plus 18. Can't be mad at that stat line for a guy that you could grab with your 11 for 12 pick. Definitely a beautiful stat line, a lot of minutes. He does have some injury concerns in general, but it's hard to be mad at the production he put up. Caris LeVert, 20 points, got 19 shots, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. The turnovers are a little concerning, but those should come down, especially with all the talent on this team. 3 steals, definitely usable. 1 of 4 free throw shooting, that I'm not a fan of. I really don't like guards with poor free throw shooting, which is why you didn't see me grab him in a ton of my teams. But if you did grab him, he put up some usable numbers for you. Spencer Dinwiddie only got 18 minutes despite this game going into overtime. Got 5 turnovers. Had 14 points on 13 shots. So that's a little concerning. So if you reached for him, it does look like he's not going to be able to get his typical minute allotment, having Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert there. And I don't know that they'll play him at small forward, and I think that would be absurd if they did. So if you're banking on Spencer Dinwiddie for great production, it's not looking good so far. DeAndre Jordan, like I pointed out before, he was minus 12, 2 points, 3 rebounds, only 16 minutes. He's a guy you did not see me draft in any of my videos. I say that with confidence, and that's exactly why. This is exactly how I expected things to play out. They may alternate from game to game, but I just think Jared Allen at this point is better for what the Nets want to do. All right, let's go on to the next game. Boston Celtics versus Philadelphia 76ers in a battle of what should be contenders out east. And Philadelphia took this one pretty easily. Now, something that stood out immediately to me is Gordon Hayward looking like Gordon Hayward. 25 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 9 of 11 free throws. He got 11 free throws against a really good defensive team. He played with confidence. I grabbed him in one of my last videos that I uploaded. I was able to grab him around pick 90-something, and I told you guys I just had to do it based on his upside. Wasn't very confident in the pick, but he's showing flashes of that old Gordon Hayward, a year removed from that injury, 2 years removed from that injury. Hopefully he gets his confidence up and can become that player that he's been in the past. So if you took him pretty late in the draft and he keeps doing this, I think you're going to be very happy. Enes Kanter did get 25 minutes. 2 of 7 free throw shooting. Not good for a guy you normally grab because he's a good free throw shooter. No steals and blocks, as you can expect with him. He was minus 12, so not the greatest debut for him. Kemba Walker, 18 shots, only hit 4 of them. Had 3 turnovers. Not a great stat line whatsoever. Jaylen Brown, a player I'm not a fan of. From a fantasy perspective, only got 20 minutes. He just got paid almost $30 million a season and played 21 minutes. Not a usable fantasy stat line. He's one of those guys I think is better in real life than he is in fantasy. I still think he's only a role player, and this stat line seems to support that. And the 20 minutes, not great. Kyrie Irving is gone. Marcus Morris is gone. if you're depending on Jaylen Brown to produce for you, I wouldn't get my hopes up. Marcus Smart didn't have a great game, but he did get 33 minutes. No steals and blocks, which isn't typical for him. He did miss all his three-pointers. I would say that's just rust. The 33 minutes, this was really standing out to me. He did get the 8 assists, so don't give up on him yet. And nothing else on their bench really stood out. Daniel Theis. Why don't you tell me how to pronounce that? I'm not sure. But Daniel didn't do much. Only got 10 minutes. That bench is looking pretty sorry. Robert Williams, who some of you call Time Lord. I'm not going to. Only got 10 minutes. But if Enes Kanter keeps playing like ass, we might see those minutes creep up. 4 personal fouls in 10 minutes. He's going to have to get that down if he wants to get more minutes. On the Philadelphia 76ers side of things, Tobias Harris got 37 minutes, put up 15 points and 15 rebounds. He got more rebounds than Embiid, so he's out there scrapping. 4 assists, 2 steals. Those are some very nice numbers. Al Horford, 16 points. Not a whole lot of rebounds and assists, but Tobias Harris and Embiid didn't give him a whole lot left over. He did take 6 three-pointers. He only hit 1. This guy's typically efficient. He did have 5 or 6 three-point free throw shooting, which is great. All the starters were in the plus territory of the plus-minus. Him less so than the others. But there's no guy that's going to come from the bench and take his minutes. So if you have Al Horford, I'd remain confident in him. Joel Embiid only played 23 minutes, shot 5 of 14. 13 rebounds, did get 3 blocks, and was plus 16. So they won with him playing those few minutes. Hopefully it's not a trend that continues. My guess is no. But with the depth on this team, they can probably afford to try to keep him fresher for later on. So that's something to monitor. If he plays consistently under 25 minutes the rest of the season, you might want to try to trade him. Ben Simmons took no three-pointers, did have 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 turnovers, no steals and blocks, 2 of 5 free throw shooting. So that's a category he hurt you in. He was plus 15. Still is very hard to be mad at. 24 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists on 11 of 16 shooting. Josh Richardson was plus 22, the highest on the team. And he's a guy that you've seen me pick up often as well because he's just a really good basketball player. The 4 of 12 shooting isn't great. He missed all his three-pointers, but he got 9 free throws, highest on the team, and hit all 9, 6 rebounds, a steal, and 2 blocks. I'm happy with that. And what stood out here off the bench is Matisse Thybulle. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, tell me how to say it right. 2 steals, 2 blocks. He hit a 3-pointer. I think he's a steals and block specialist, guys. He keeps proving it. If he gets more minutes, he's going to really help you in those two categories. He's someone to consider picking up with your end of the bench so that you can throw him in and he can get you those steals, blocks, and occasional 3-pointers. That's how Robert Covington ended up being the fantasy asset that he is today. I think Matisse has that sort of value as well and that sort of potential. On to the next game. We're almost done. The Wizards versus the Dallas Mavericks. Bradley Beal took 25 shots, only hit 7. Only 1 of 11 three-pointers. Did get 9 assists and 3 steals. I expect him to be a lot better. He's normally an efficient guy. First game of the season. He's looking very Andrew Wiggins-ish with that 7 of 25. But unlike Andrew Wiggins, like I just said, he's proven to be very efficient in the past. Rui Hachimura, he's not a guy I talked up a whole lot because I didn't know what the competition would be like with Davis and Bertrand's. But he got 24 minutes. And he had a usable stat line. He only helped you in a couple categories, mostly field goal percentage, rebounds, and points. But for a rookie, that's a pretty great start. Thomas Bryant was minus 16, which is very concerning. He's someone I believe in as far as a fantasy perspective, and he put up very usable fantasy numbers. Would have liked more blocks, but at minus 16 is concerning. At the same time, I think the Wizards know this is a lost season, so they want to invest time in developing him. I doubt they have playoff hopes. I wouldn't if I were them. Ish Smith, boring stat line, but it does look like he has that starting spot secure for now. Isaiah Thomas may be back soon, but I don't know that he'll be a much better option at this point. Isaac Bonga played 22 minutes. Didn't do much with them. He did get a steal and a block and a three-pointer, 4 or 5 shooting. So if you're in a deeper league, you might want to consider him. As far as the bench, David Bertrand did get 29 minutes. Only 2 of 8 shooting, took 6 three-pointers, did get you a steal. He was minus 17, which was worse than Thomas Bryant. Nothing very exciting there. Moritz Wagner had 5 turnovers in 16 minutes. So, really nothing great off the bench. I guess it's good Davis Bertrand's got 28 minutes. If you need a three-point specialist big man in a 14-team league, you might want to consider him. The Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic, 34 points, 9 rebounds. He did have 6 turnovers, but 12 of 19 shooting, 4 of 9 free throw, 3-pointers, 6 of 8 free throw, which isn't the greatest, but that's a very nice stat line. He was net neutral at plus 0 when he played. Kristaps Porzingis was 7 of 16, 23 points, did have 4 turnovers, a steal and a block. Definitely going to want to see more rebounding numbers from him. The three-pointers are nice and definitely going to need more blocks from him to justify how highly he was being picked. But not a bad first game, especially this is his first game after tearing his ACL back with the Knicks. Maxey starting because of Dwight Powell's injury. Got 3 blocks, but 0 points, 8 rebounds. I'm assuming he loses that position once Dwight Powell's back. Dellen Wright played 21 minutes, which is less minutes than Jalen Brunson got off the bench. He was plus 1 in the minutes that he got, but normally he's a guy you get for the steals and blocks. Looks like he may be in a timeshare with Jalen Brunson, however. Jalen Brunson got 4 turnovers, but he got 2 steals, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Only 3 of 10 shooting, but he did get 10 shots. Dellen Wright only got 2 shots. So it looks like they want to give Jalen Brunson tick. Tim Hardaway Jr. only took 7 shots. Did nothing else but get 4 personal fouls. He's not someone I would bank on. Seth Curry got 20 minutes. Didn't do much of anything with those minutes either. So what stands out to me on that bench is Jalen Brunson. If you need a point guard and you're in a 14-team league or a 16-team league, see if he's available. I was able to grab him in a 20-team league pretty late in the draft. So he's someone to consider if you really need a point guard. J.J. Barea didn't get any minutes. So Jalen Brunson may just be that new J.J. Barea that gets 24, 25 minutes off the bench and puts up usable numbers when he gets the minutes. Hopefully not as injury prone. New York Knicks versus San Antonio Spurs. There were a lot of nice stat lines going on here. Marcus Morris, that's who I'll point out first. Grabbed him in so many leagues with my very last pick. Even in a 16-team league, I was able to grab him really late. Like I told you before, if this guy got minutes on a good Boston Celtics team, there's no way he wasn't going to get minutes on the New York Knicks, especially after he rescinded accepting an offer from the Spurs, who is who they played. And he got almost 40 minutes, got 18 shots, tied with Julius Randle for shot attempts, hit 3 three-pointers, 5 of 5 free throw shooting, 3 steals, got 4 rebounds, which isn't amazing, but with the rest of what he did, that's really, really good. Now, he was minus 15 in the minutes that he played, which is definitely a bit concerning, but overall, I think the Knicks plan to put him out there and play him. Julius Randle put up a really nice stat line by his standards. 25 points. Took 18 shots as well. He hit 10 of them. He hit a three-pointer. His free throw shooting was 4 of 6. That's not his strong suit, so that's fine. 11 rebounds. Got you 6 assists, which is great. And he got you 3 steals as well. If he can consistently get you steals and he gets creeps over that 0.7 steals he normally gets you, that'll raise his value a whole lot. And he was plus 6. So all the other starters were in the negative. He was plus 6, so he's helping the team out there. Bobby Portis got a start. I do believe Mitchell Robinson was dealing with an ankle injury. He got 33 minutes. Put up 8 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He also got 2 steals. Shot 40%. Didn't hit the one free throw he had. So if you're in a deeper league and you need a big man, Bobby Portis looks like he may be getting some minutes. But again, keep in mind, Mitchell Robinson was down injured. RJ Barrett had a really nice debut for a rookie. 21 points, 9 of 13 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and he got 2 steals. He's probably not available in your league, but for those people who took a chance on him, it looks like it's paying dividends. Elfrid Payton got 26 minutes off the bench, had 5 steals, was plus 14, and it looks like he's going to be their starting point guard, really. Alonzo Trier and RJ Barrett were the guards that were starting, and neither one is really a point guard, so it looks like Elfrid Payton got the most minutes. He got 26 minutes to Dennis Smith Jr.'s 10 minutes. Kevin Knox got 21 minutes, but outside of the points and the 5 rebounds, he did hit 3 three-pointers, which is something to keep in mind. So in a really deep league, 16 teams or more, he might be worthy of a gamble. Elfrid Payton, if you're in need of a point guard, you might want to give him a look. It looks like he will be getting minutes for this Knicks team. On the Spurs side of things, DeMar DeRozan didn't have a great game. He was a positive while he was out there. LaMarcus Aldridge played 35 minutes. Put up a pretty typical stat line for LaMarcus Aldridge. Hit that three-pointer, which is nice. DeMar DeRozan got 31 minutes, only took 10 shots. Doesn't sound like him, but hopefully we can get that up. I have him in a few leagues, and I think he'll bounce back and do better in the future. Bryn Forbes, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of 6 shooting. He got 12 shots. He got more shots than DeMar DeRozan, which is pretty telling. It looks like he's going to be beating out Derek White for those minutes. Didn't really see that coming. He should be available pretty much in most leagues. So if you want to take a chance on him, that this production will continue. He was plus 4, so he was helping the team while he was out there. He outscored DeMar DeRozan. So for a guard that's available in a lot of waiver wires, you might want to give him a look. DeJounte Murray, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Loving that. He did only play 23 minutes, which is not much more than Derek White got. And do keep in mind, Derek White got injured last year. And for like 2 or 3 weeks, he was putting up stat lines like this one, and then he just burst. So it could be that he just hasn't fully warmed up, and that a month from now, all of a sudden, he's going off. So don't be too hasty to get rid of him. See how things shake out. He really showed a lot his rookie season. I still think he has that sort of potential. And he got rave reviews during the Team USA scrimmages and during the FIBA World Cup. So believe in him. Don't give up on him yet. Rudy Gay put up a really nice stat line, but only got 20 minutes. Patty Mills only got 16 minutes. Jacob Poeltl was up. Got less minutes than Trey Lyles. It looks like Trey Lyles will be getting more minutes than Poeltl. So if you're counting on Poeltl to be one of your main centers, you might want to give Trey Lyles a look instead. It could be a timeshare. It's hard to tell with a Coach Popovich team. All right. Ooh, this is exhausting. Credit to the people that do this every single day. Wow. So many games. So let me tell you, I am a huge Chris Paul fan. And I really think they're going to have a better season than people are expecting. And they played a very competitive game against the Utah Jazz, which was a playoff team last year. Danilo Gallinari with 21 points, 7 rebounds. He was going in the middle round, so it's not like he was a sleeper or anything. But when healthy, the guy produces. Terrence Ferguson got 23 minutes and did nothing. Steven Adams had a pretty rough game. 1 of 8 shooting, only 3 points. But that tends to happen when you're going against Rudy Gobert. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander took 23 shots. Didn't do much of anything else. But the 23 shots shows the belief the team has in him. They're going to feed him the ball. 26 points is great. He was minus 12 in those minutes. Chris Paul, what a shock. The guy still has it. 22 points, 8 rebounds, not a ton of assists. Those should creep up. He got that steal, was plus 4 while he was out there. I think he's going to lead this team to some greatness. Dennis Schroeder got 30 minutes. He's someone I banked on in some points leagues, but didn't do much with those 30 minutes. It is nice that he got 30 minutes, so it looks like they do want to play him and they're going to find him minutes. He probably will have better performances than this, but from a fantasy perspective, his inefficiency and how turnover prone he is hurts. Nerlens Noel only got 4 minutes, which isn't great. I was hoping he would get more minutes, so if you were banking on Nerlens Noel to help you, it doesn't look like they believe in him much. It could be that it was just a close game. But still, I think Oklahoma City is going to be more competitive than people think. So if he's only getting 4 minutes in a competitive game, it does not bode well for his future success with this team. The Utah Jazz, Royce O'Neal got a start, hit all 6 of his shots, hit 14 points, 2 3-pointers. That's someone to keep in mind if he's starting and getting that many minutes. Bojan Bogdanovic did go down with an ankle injury, but he did come back. He was plus 2 in the minutes he was out there, scored 16 points. I think he'll have better performances than this. Keep an eye on that ankle, and let's hope it's not serious. It's a good sign he was able to come back. Rudy Gobert only had 6 shots, 14 rebounds, only 1 block. But was plus 13. So even though it may not show on the stat line, the guy's just good and impacts the game in so many ways. Donovan Mitchell took 22 shots and hit 14 of them. Grabbed 12 rebounds, which is a crazy amount of rebounds. He got you a steal. He was plus 9, so again, he was helping you as well. Now you know why I was reaching for him and wanted him on so many of my teams. I just think he's a dynamic player and he's going to have a breakout season. Mike Conley, 1 of 16. Did hit 5 assists. Not the greatest stat line, but they were plus 1, and his team won the game. I expect a bounce back for performance. He was facing some really good defensive point guards in Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So I expect a bounce back performance, so don't panic on him yet. Joe Ingles came off the bench, but got 32 minutes. So it looks like he's getting minutes regardless, even if he's not starting. Hopefully, in the future, though, we can see more assists. A lot of his value comes from his out-of-position assists. But with 32 minutes, him leading that bench unit, I'm assuming he's going to have better stat lines in the future and prove to be a worthy fantasy commodity. Jeff Green, not much minutes. If Bojan's ankle injury ends up being serious, he may get more minutes. And he's put up usable fantasy production in the past. But this guy has been on more teams than almost anyone. So I don't expect he's going to earn a ton of minutes or really have the opportunity to be a completely usable factor. If injuries happen, he's a guy you plug in and can manage the game for you. Nothing else really stood out to me worth pointing out. So let's move on. Oh boy. Winding down, only two more games. We have the Sacramento Kings versus the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns blew out the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings really struggled. Buddy Hield had a great game, 28 points, but he did have 5 turnovers, no steals or blocks. Hit 6 three-pointers, 10 of 19 shooting. My boy De'Aaron Fox had a rough first game. Ricky Rubio was giving him the work. Dwayne Dedmon, someone asked me why I hesitate to draft him. Well, there you go. He only got 14 minutes. Could have been because it was a blowout and he's older. But I just don't have faith that he's going to be that productive this season like he was with that really bad Hawks team. Marvin Bagley put up a similar stat line to his rookie season averages. 14 points, 10 rebounds, a steal and a block. No three-pointers. 6 of 16 shooting. Just a rough game for the Sacramento Kings. Like I said, my boy De'Aaron Fox only took 7 shots, 5 turnovers to 5 assists, 5 fouls. He got done. Bogdan came off the bench, only shot 1 of 10. Didn't do a whole lot. Trevor Ariza got 21 minutes. He's not the fantasy asset he's been in the past. Rashawn Holmes, I think he could end up beating Dwayne Dedmon out for the center position. So he's someone to put on your radar. He did get a block. He was minus 8. Dwayne Dedmon was minus 7. Bogdan was minus 24. Really, Dwayne Dedmon was the best one out of all the starters. So just a really bad game for the Kings. Hopefully they get it out of their system and have a better game. But that one wasn't looking very good. Now, as far as the Phoenix Suns, they did great. Kelly Oubre, a steal, 2 blocks, 9 rebounds, 21 points, 8 of 17 shooting. Kelly Oubre is a guy that can help you in so many categories. He reminds me kind of Robert Covington. DeAndre Ayton, 18 points, 11 rebounds with 4 blocks and a steal. If he puts up that production consistently and gets those steals and blocks numbers, and the fact he can hit free throws, he's going to probably end up being a first-round talent. Devin Booker did great, was plus 25, tied with DeAndre Ayton, had 22 points, had 10 assists. I was concerned his assists would go down playing with Ricky Rubio, but that was not the case this game. 22 points and 10 assists from a shooting guard-eligible player. He hit 2 three-pointers and 10 of 17 shots. And he only had 3 turnovers to those 10 assists. So, really nice stat line for Devin Booker. Ricky Rubio is a guy I told you not to draft. But so far, he's proven me wrong. The field goal percentage isn't great, but he really impacted the team while he was out there. They played with a lot more confidence. And they really trounced the Sacramento Kings, who were a borderline playoff team last year. 11 assists. To 4 turnovers and 4 steals. That's usable fantasy production, and if he keeps that up, I'll happily accept that L. Michael Bridges, a guy I'm really high on. He found his way to 23 minutes. I'm hoping that they can set it up where Dario Saric, I don't think Dario Saric is that great, so I'm hoping that they can move Kelly Oubre, the power forward, with DeAndre Ayton, and they could slide Michael Bridges in and get him more minutes as small forward. He did get 23 minutes. I would like to see more minutes from him. He did get 3 steals. He was plus 19, so he really helped while he was out there. Nothing else on the bench really stands out. So don't give up on Michael Bridges. The guy can hit three-pointers. He can get steals. He can get blocks. He's young, and he got more minutes than Dario Saric, so I can see him sliding into the starting lineup and then putting Dario Saric on the bench. And in a rematch of last year's playoff, we have the Denver Nuggets facing off against the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Denver Nuggets took this one. And here are my observations. So Paul Millsap got almost 32 minutes, hit 3 or 4 three-pointers, got 3 steals, got 2 blocks. For a guy you could grab really late in the draft, I took a gamble on him in one or two of my leagues. His ADP was very reasonable for the upside he's shown in the past. Three steals, two blocks, three three-pointers. Really hard to be mad at that stat line. Hopefully he can keep it up. Will Barton also had himself a game. Took 12 free throws, hit 11 of them. Two steals, a block. He was plus two while he was out there. Nikola Jokic only played 23 minutes, but as always, impacted the game strongly. 20 points, 13 rebounds, two assists. He did have four turnovers, and I expect those assist numbers to go up. Hit three of five three-pointers, so hopefully we see more three-pointers from him this season. Gary Harris is another guy I'm high on. He had a rough first game. Five fouls, three rebounds, only 8 points. He took 5 3-pointers, but he had 35 minutes, and he was plus five, so he was helping the team while he was out there. Hopefully he bounces back and has a nicer stat line next time. This guy has proven he could be a huge fantasy commodity in the past. I remember a few years ago bringing up how Buddy Hield reminded me of Gary Harris, and people scoffing at the idea that Buddy Hield would be as good as Gary Harris. And now, if I say Gary Harris is as good as Buddy Hield, they would scoff at that. Just to show you how quickly things change in the fantasy basketball landscape. Just that quickly, Gary Harris can become a commodity again. I believe in my heart that he will. Jamal Murray, off to one of his usual rough starts. He was plus nine, so he was helping the team while he was out there. Only 4 of 14 shooting. He did hit 3 of 6 three-pointers. Did get a steal. 6 assists is nice. But people are expecting much more from him. I know that. Jeremy Grant, I was hoping he would get more minutes, but that's the problem with how deep this team is. There may not be a path for minutes for a lot of these guys unless there's injuries. He did make 75% of his shots. He did hit 2 3-pointers, no steals and blocks, which is disappointing. He was plus 8 while he was out there, which is the best on the bench. So he may have earned more minutes going forward. Mason Plumlee, not a exciting guy. Monte Morris, Torrey Craig, Malik Beasley, all under 16 minutes. Juancho Hernan Gomez didn't get played. Michael Porter Jr., which I saw a lot of people hyping up, didn't play at all. So if you reached for Michael Porter Jr., I don't know why you did that. This team is deep. He's a rookie who missed, I believe, 2 seasons with a back injury. I don't know why you would have any expectations for him. Hopefully you got that out of your system. Is that all the games? Oh, no, we got to go over Portland. The Portland Trail Blazers. Rodney Hood, 5 of 10 shooting, hit 2 3-pointers. He got 31 minutes. He's a guy that's available in a lot of leagues. So if you need a 3-point shooter in a deeper league, go check your waiver wire. He may be available. Zach Collins, a guy I've hyped up. And what I love to see is the 30 minutes. To Hassan Whiteside's 26 minutes and the fact that they're playing together. That's great as well. Zach Collins took 2 3-pointers, didn't hit any of them. He got 2 blocks. But getting 30 minutes a game, this is a guy who, when he gets minutes, gets 3-pointers, rebounds, and blocks, and can score to some degree. So I'm glad to see that he got those minutes. Hassan Whiteside, 16 points and 19 rebounds with 2 blocks. I didn't draft him a whole lot. I just don't think he's made for the modern NBA, but that's a very nice stat line. He got 26 minutes. I'd say that's about the minutes you can expect while he's healthy. But once Joseph Nurkic is back, I don't see Collins sitting for Nurkic. I don't know that Whiteside and Nurkic both work together as well as Zach Collins works. Zach Collins is a modern-day NBA big man that fits in with the rest of this team. Damian Lillard, 32 points and 8 assists. Typical Damian Lillard production. CJ McCollum had a rough first game, 5 of 18 shooting with 5 turnovers, but he's typically a very efficient guy, so I wouldn't let that scare me off. Nothing really to report off the bench, other than I guess Kent Bazemore got 25 minutes, got 5 steals. I could see him beating Rodney Hood out for that starting position at some point. He was minus 11 while he was out there, while Rodney Hood was plus 3. But I'd put him on my radar. Five steals is great, and he's proven he's a guy that can hit three-pointers, get steals, and blocks. But he does hurt your efficiency, as you can see there with that 1-of-7 shooting. Mario Hezonja, there was some whispers that he potentially could start. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. He was -7, only got 18 minutes. So it looks like really it's going to be down to Kent Bazemore and Rodney Hood for one of those forward spots. The rest of the starters, I think, will remain as they are until Joseph Nurkić returns, whenever that is. Now, I believe that was all the games. Let's double check. That is all the games. Wow. That was an hour. But I gave you all the insight that I could possibly give you. Go ahead. There should be a lot of these players available on your waiver wires. If you're needing players at those positions, you might want to definitely consider them. Players that stick out to me in my mind just quickly are Marcus Morris, Will Barton, Tyus Jones. Those are the players that are really sticking out in my mind right now. I've gone over an hour. Just watch the video again if you need the recommendations. Here, I'll do you one favor. Let's go. I like to go to my fantasy teams so that we can see the trends. How about that? So PJ Washington, Luke Kennard, who I mentioned before as well, they're trending. So let's view the transaction trends. Luke Kennard's being picked up quickly. Marcus Morris is being picked up quickly. Graham for the Hornets is being picked up quickly. Tristan Thompson, Elfrid Payton, Chris Nunn, Will Barton. Bryn Forbes to a lesser degree. Bryn Forbes is available in 84% of leagues for a guy that got 33 minutes. So yeah, those are, I'd say, the main players that you need to go and target. Tyus Jones, only owned in 8% of leagues for a guy that got 15 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. And got 24 minutes. Definitely another player you want to go check out. Jordan Clarkson being dropped. So yeah, those are the pickups. Use these trends. I use this tool all the time because if anything, it lets me know there's movement happening. Why is this movement happening? And then I can dig deeper into that specific player and see why. All right, I am done. I am pooped. That was a lot. Again, shout out to anyone that does this daily. I will continue doing this daily, so know that I love you. So for that love, all I ask in return is your support. And you can support me by liking this page, leaving a comment below, clicking the bell notification so you're aware when I upload new content, and just showing your love by visiting www.baroklesnarhoops.com. I will also be uploading this in audio format in the form of a podcast, which will be available soon where your favorite podcast can be found. It might take a week or two for it to be on iTunes and the other places, but I'll let you know when that happens. And you can listen to it in podcast form at www.baroklesnarhoops.com. I am exhausted. Thank you so much for listening. Until tomorrow, take care. That's going to be my new exit. Take care. Take care. Take care.